Aloha, Mud Babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew, back from the dead. I know it seems like it. It's been a while since the last podcast. I've been busy, working out on the road. A matter of fact, I just got back from Las Vegas. I was working at the MGM Grand there at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, probably one of the best comedy clubs in the nation, working with some great guys. It's always fun. So if you're around Vegas or you're planning on going to Vegas, be sure and check out Brad Garrett's Comedy Club there in the MGM Grand. I just got done recording today's podcast with Gavin McInnes. What? You got Gavin back? Yes, I did. I did it for you because you guys have requested Gavin. You guys made Gavin the most listened to podcast in the past. Both times he's been on before, major numbers. So got him back on today. And we found out Gavin was having some phone issues. We Skyped the call. It's not too bad. There's some drops and comebacks and some things. But when you hear why Gavin's phone is having trouble, you are going to seriously piss on yourself. You're going to laugh so hard, you're going to pee in your pants. All right? No, I'm serious. Listen to this podcast and find out what's wrong with Gavin's home button. All right? This is going to be great. Let's get on with the podcast. From Fox News, Vice, and more from the... Well, actually, he's doing Anthony Cumia's network now, too. So you'll find Gavin everywhere. Here it is, Gavin McInnes.
How you been? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just got back from Las Vegas.
Fuck that shithole. I hate that place. If someone pitched to me, hey, you know that shithole in the desert? I'm going to turn it into a bunch of malls and casinos and make a fortune. I would say, you're a fucking idiot.
Because it's the desert.
No one's going to want to go there, dummy. What, you think people are going to want to go blow all their money at blackjack and then go home? No.
Yes, there's millions and millions of people that want to do that.
I saw a woman there once. You know that truck, that sort of tractor that pushes coins off a ledge?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
And it reaches a breaking point, coins pour out. She was dressed super fancy, like Academy Awards style. She waited so long that it poured over the edge, and she didn't seem happy about it. First of all, she was alone, so there's no one to high-five. And she couldn't pour the money back into the machine fast enough. And I'm looking at her thinking, it's going to take forever to get back to that point you were at. You were just at a great point. You won. Walk away. But I don't think people there go to win money. They go there to lose money.
I agree. And if you just were walking through like a Target and lost $100, you wouldn't feel as like, yay.
Yeah. I feel like they've been a slave to money all year. And they go, you know what? I want to have a fucking vacation where money's my bitch. And I don't care about it, so I'm going to lose it.
I agree. I do that too. I start playing on casino money. Like if I put in $20 and I hit 70 or whatever, then I think, well, I can have all this to gamble on. And then when I lose the 70, I'm back to 20 and I go, well, fuck it. I started with 20. I might as well just keep playing.
Right. I usually bring $200 to blackjack, and when that's gone, I'm out. But I think people with selective memory, especially sales guys, because they've trained their brains to always stay positive, right? So sales guys will fucking gamble thousands of dollars down because they only remember the good stuff.
It's got to come back. It's got to come back around. The world wants me to
always win. I make a fortune. Or they always say, look, they serve you free drinks. Very worst case scenario, you're down to zero. And you get free drinks all night. And I'm like, what about the time you lost $10,000? And they'd erase that from their brains. You'll notice guys who own casinos never gamble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually was told that by – and I'm sure you know who this is. Steve Sciarrippa, who was on The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He used to be run the comedy club at the Riviera Casino when I was working there. And I was gambling one night, and Steve walks by and like bumps me. He goes, what are you doing? I go, oh, just trying to win a little cash. He goes, look around. We have to pay for this somehow.
That's so true. Yeah. You look at the fucking gigantic room and you think someone's winning and it's not the patrons.
Right. Somebody's paying for these big chandeliers, which I discovered this trip. If you've ever gone to Vegas with somebody who's never been before, it's the most annoying thing in the world because they act like they've never seen anything on this planet. Like, oh my God. And I go, yeah, it's a chandelier. They have them at every lighting store.
Yeah. Or Google image it. You should be familiar with them by now.
I know. It's just so like you can't even walk through a casino like, oh, look at that. Yeah, it's a chair. It's a massive chair.
The other thing I hate about Vegas is the oxygen they pump into the rooms makes you stay awake. It's like doing cocaine and you don't know you're doing it. So you end up drinking 7,000 beers and the next day is AIDS.
It's AIDS.
It's just straight up 1980s AIDS, not even the good AIDS we have now. The one where your family's by the side of the bed and you weigh 8 pounds and you're just your mother's holding your bony little hand.
Right.
That's how I feel the next day.
Yeah, that Tom Hanks kind.
Yeah, yeah. Remember Colors of Benetton had an ad. It was pretty fucking brave. And it was an AIDS patient dying in his bed with his family around him crying. They're all fat and he was obviously skinny. And it said the United Colors of Benetton.
Oh my God!
You don't get balls like that anymore.
I know. How quickly would that be protested and taken down in this day and age?
God, you would be fired for suggesting it at a meeting.
Yeah. Oh,
you'd be fired for thinking it.
Well, that's what I think was making people more and more like not speaking up, kind of like that San Bernardino thing, right? I was going to say something, but I didn't want people to think I was a racist.
Well, then Loretta Lynch gets on the news and says, "Yeah, we would have thought you were a racist, and anyone else who wants to speak out will be prosecuted."
Amazing.
We do not allow for anyone to notice patterns in this country. It's illegal. The fucking attorney general. Jesus Christ. And then everyone out about what Trump said, including my wife, because I'm wearing a Trump pin today.
Are you really?
America great again. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gigantic. I got it on the street here. They had every presidential hopeful. Some immigrant selling presidential pins. And she goes, "Your boy screwed up. Even his own party's coming after him." And I go, "Yeah, his own party is full of pussies."
It's time for a new John Wayne. And that's kind of what, to me, is Trump, if nothing else, is just talking like John Wayne would in any good movie.
Finally. That's what he's being irrational. He's being unreasonable. He's being extreme. And I just think, finally. Like, if there's a time for irrational, it's now. I went to Paris after the attacks.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I, you know, when I was a teenager, we were punk rockers. We would fight Nazi skinheads every weekend, taking the bus from the suburbs to the city. And now I would kill for a Nazi skinhead. Let's bring on the hate. Everyone is such a – like, let's bring back bullying. When I was a kid, I immigrated from Britain and I had a little faggy accent. Like, "Hello, how is everyone? Oh, I love Canada. It's adorable." I had that shit pounded out of me in a week.
And I know that exact feeling because that's what happened to me because I was I had long hair and John Lennon glasses and my dad moved us to a farming community. So all the rednecks
– I can just hear the fist going into your little head.
Yes. It was constant. It was like every day, "I'll meet you behind the school, fag." You know, that kind of.
It was kind of endearing, too, because you care enough to want to fix the guy. Like, you don't make fun of a retard. That's just stupid. He has Down syndrome. What's he going to do, fix himself? But when your friend says something dumb, you go, "That's retarded." Because you want him to improve. And I think bullying and intolerance and patriotism is a form of benevolence. Even making fun of someone is a form of benevolence.
Oh, I agree. I had my hair pulled back by accident the other day. And what my friend thought I had it in a man bun, but it was just pulled back in a ponytail. And he goes, "You don't have one of those faggy man buns, do you?" And I go, no. He goes, "Good, because that's just a sign you're a douche."
And yeah, I was like, "Good, because I'm worried about you and I want you to be better."
And that's kind of how I took it. He was like, "Because, yeah." I was like, "Man, I got to get this even out of a ponytail if that's the first thing people think."
Oh, fuck. It's exhausting, too, because they go, "Well, how are you going to know they're Muslim?" And we see pictures of them at a bank. Have you seen this pictures going around today of them? I think they're at a bank machine. And they look like you did a drawing when someone said, "Draw me a male and a female terrorist." Like, they couldn't look, they look way less suspicious. I mean, way more suspicious than any of the pictures we've been seeing. They've been showing his driver's license photo. He looks fine in it. But this one, he's got the little beard and the stupid little hat.
Oh, I did see that. You're right. I saw that. And I just saw today for the first time where they were saying that they're really upset because they keep showing her face.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I upset you, but we're at war. In World War II, we took the Germans' land. We took the Japanese land. We separated families, confiscated all their wealth. Bit rich. It was a bit rich.
Yeah.
But Michelle Malkin puts together a good argument for it. And I'd like the argument to stay there. I'd like us to be saying, should we be confiscating Muslim people's land? Isn't that a bit rich?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. But once you get proven, it's kind of like getting a DUI and they take your car away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that kind of, we're sorry, your dad was a terrorist, so everything you own is ours now.
You know what they do in India? If there's a Muslim suicide bomber, the whole family suffers after. They all get deported. They all get prosecuted. Some old lady's going to jail. She hasn't even seen her grandson in 5 years. They are irrational about it because war is irrational. Remember Patton? He said he was talking about, I can't remember what particular enemy, but he said, we will take their guts and use them to grease the wheels of our tanks.
Oh, beautiful. That's right.
Can we get some of that again?
Well, we sort of do with we'll kill you and we'll kill your family from Trump.
Yes. It's so fucking good.
And then I'm watching Fox News the other day, and Trump is talking to O'Reilly. And O'Reilly kept saying, how are you going to kill their family? Are you really going to kill – did you see that? I don't know if you saw that part.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah. How are you going to do their family?
You know, I saw Cenk Uygur, the Young Turks guy, saying that to Ann Coulter, saying – because she said, just drop a fucking bomb on them and shut up. And he said, you know, innocent people die when you drop a bomb. How many – people are going to die. How many innocent people? Millions of people. You want to kill millions of people? And it's like, don't get into the nuance of war if you can't handle violence and death. That's what it is. That's what they're doing. That's what Muslims are doing to Muslims all over the Middle East right now. Unspeakable horrors. How about what they're doing to fags and women? Doesn't the left care about that? Can we just start with that?
Oh, I agree. I've said that for years. I've never understood of all the stuff, you know, the left hating us going to war in Iraq or liberating, parts of Afghanistan. Aren't they killing everything you believe in with the gay rights and women and driving and education? And shouldn't you be like the first to cheer us?
I saw Melissa Harris Perry on MSNBC.
I love her and her lisp.
She's the best.
She's a
white woman, by the way.
She's
if
a
white. Wondering why she's so extreme. She's white.
Oh,
she grew up in a white house, so she happens to have black skin. But she is as white as you and me.
Oh, that explains a lot.
So her beef is that we featured a photograph of one of the killers wearing a hijab, and she says this is implying it's the face of terrorism. It fucking is, you stupid bitch.
Yeah. Well, how come you showed the guy that shot up the church and said, this is a Southern Confederate nut job?
It is upside down land. Look, people say to me, you don't care when someone shoots a Planned Parenthood. You don't see the pattern there. Because there is no fucking pattern. It's all crazy people. Did you see Adam Lanza's eyeballs? They look like golf balls glued to his head. They're all on fucking Adderall. Prescription drugs out the wazoo. They've all lost their fucking minds. Yes, they managed to get a gun. That's if they didn't have a gun, they'd get a knife. If the terrorists didn't have a gun, they'd use a car. They used a car in Glasgow. But so there is no pattern there, and the left draws this pattern. They turn them all into Nazis. And it's funny because their two things seem to be it's the Jews' fault and these people are Nazis.
Right. Well,
you can't have it both ways. They're either Jews or Nazis. And then when someone does have a pattern, like Islam, and they scream it at the top of their lungs, Aloha Akbar, we go, nope, no pattern there. What?
No,
you
no
make a pattern out of thin air, and then when someone hands you a pattern, you just drop it on the ground and go, sorry, I don't see that.
Well, I don't understand how we can't just threaten to drop the bomb on the entire country and give them enough time to kill the bad ones. Dude, that's what I've been thinking, too. Like, here, you know, we don't want to kill the innocent, but we are going to drop a bomb, so we're going to give you 24 hours. You still there? Did I lose you?
Yeah. You cut out for a second.
Oh, okay.
You know, you got to get Terry Shepard on your show. He's a Green Beret. And his shit is, you want to get rid of ISIS? Let us do our fucking job.
Oh, true.
He goes, we'll eat them alive. We're being hampered by political correctness. Fuck off. Sorry. My stupid thing activates and I don't know how to turn it off.
You're
still there?
Like your Surrey kicks in?
Yeah. I pissed my phone last night.
You what?
It won't leave me alone. There. You there?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Yeah, I wet myself sitting down.
Are you kidding, right?
No, I'm an alcoholic. I managed to stop wetting the bed by passing out on the couch. But the problem is falling asleep sitting up, when you wet yourself, you just wet your wallet because it goes straight down. So I had to lay out all my ID and my money in the dryer today because I don't want my wife to know.
She doesn't listen to this.
No, she doesn't listen to anything I do. It's too stressful, she says. But I also wet my phone, so the home button doesn't work, and I've been setting off this voice control every time I fart.
And I hope you're on the way to the iPhone shop right now.
It's $132. There's actually a thing in settings where you can have a digital home button. That's a lot cheaper. But I don't think I can handle hard liquor. I think Bud Light exists for a reason. It's an anchor.
Yeah, hits the word light.
I need it. It's sort of like an ankle bracelet for probation. I need that ankle bracelet of light alcohol because bourbon just feels too good.
Well, I've said this for years, that people that drink Jack Daniels and just Jack Daniels only know that there's a big difference between drunk on whiskey and being jacked up, and hence the word where it comes from. You were just jacked up because you just do shit and you party and your brain goes somewhere. You just don't just become a shitting at the bar kind of thing.
I only ever have Jack Daniels on airplanes if they don't have Makers, but Maker's Mark, I mean, I could get an erection right now just thinking of the bottle.
with that little bit of wax top on it.
Oh. The first one is the best one, when you're hungover and you don't even have it on the rocks because you want it to hurt. And it feels like gasoline going down your throat.
Yeah, that's what drives me nuts about these working in Vegas. I was there for the rodeo, NFR, the National Finals Rodeo, and all the cowboys now are starting to drink Fireball. That pussy cinnamon fucking whiskey, and it drives me ape shit. Because
it's for chicks.
Yes, yes. Whiskey is not supposed to taste like candy, because I heard one guy go, it's so good, it tastes like one of those fire stick candies. I go, John Wayne would kick you in the cunt.
Who eats candy after the age of 13? Oh, I can't wait to have – oh, a candy cane. You mind if I dip into the tree here? Oh, I'm sorry to wreck your tree, but these are delicious.
Uh-oh, I think you hit your home button. Did you hit your home button?
You still there?
Yeah, I think you hit your home button again.
Uh-oh. Did I mute it or something? You there?
Yeah, I'm here, but you disappeared for a second.
I lost you for a second.
Yeah.
How does a listener feel when those happen? Those must be annoying when you drop out.
Apparently, it might be, but no one ever says a thing, which I was going to tell you. You are now the guest that's been on the most, and you actually have the most listened to podcast both times. So apparently, people just go, I don't give a shit what Gavin says. I'm listening.
Well, I love your show because it reminds me of the South, and I'm going to look into the technology of making that place livable temperature-wise, because as soon as it's not a microwave for 6 months of the year, I'm in, all in.
Oh, yeah.
But that fucking heat, and I'm sorry, a man should not wear shorts, but when it's 110 degrees, you feel like you're wearing plastic bags on your legs.
Yeah, I agree. I wish somebody could do something about the humidity. That's my gripe about the South.
It's torture. Torture, especially Austin. You know, this is totally off topic, but I used to go to South by Southwest every year, and my liver can't take it anymore. But when I was there, I overheard these guys going, yeah, my brother lives in a Canadian neighborhood, and I'll tell you what, it's fine. It's not dangerous. Everyone's cool there, and it's cheap as shit. And it's fucking, you know, okay, they're not, none of them are married, but they still take care of their fucking kids. I like Canadians. And I'm like, hold on a sec. I'm from Canada. There's a Canadian neighborhood? And they go, no, dummy, blacks. And they use this code because no one wants to be seen talking about black people.
Oh.
They call them Canadians because Canadians are so boring. No one would ever really be talking about them. So they know that if you're using the word Canadian, the something's up. And then I'm in upstate New York, like a really bourgeois area called Larchmont, where all the stockbrokers and bankers commute from.
Uh-huh.
It's in the suburbs, about 35 minutes here by train. And they're like, there's some blue collar dudes, because there's tons of work for blue collar guys renovating all these rich people's homes. So the bar is filled with you know, plumbers and electricians. And they're like, yeah, well, that's your business, right? You've got a lot of Canadians in your business. And I said to the person next to me, holy shit, so that Canadian thing made it up here? And they go, oh, how do you know about that? And I go, blacks. They call Canadians blacks, like in Texas. And they go, blacks? No, Jews.
Oh, so Canadian is just code word for anything.
Canadian is what I can't talk about. Yeah, like in Brooklyn, the another thing they do is they touch their face. Like, you know, if you had, say, a sparkle on your cheek, well, first of all, I'd wonder what the fuck was going on. But I would motion to my own face and sort of scratch my cheek to say you have a sparkle on.
Yeah.
That's how old school Brooklyn guys say, how's the neighborhood? Has it gone black yet? So they'll go, how's the neighborhood? And then stroke their cheek twice. I mean, we're living in a fucking world that is so self-censoring and scared. These are tough guys. These are guys who fought their whole lives and lift, you know, 200 feet of pipe a day.
Right.
And they can't talk about the racial demographics of a village.
Which is, you know, the tension that we're having today in society is probably mostly because of our great uniter, right? The one that was going to come and bring us together. But
yes.
But don't look back. When we actually all got along, like in the 70s, with Soul Train and that kind of peace train, and our greatest comics were Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Don Rickles, all which did racial stereotype jokes. And yet we can't make jokes anymore.
It wasn't just a trend. It was American culture in a nutshell.
True.
You still see this. Like at my boxing gym in the changing room, it's all race all the time. Like, look at you. You're fucking Puerto Rican. I'm surprised you made it here in time. Yeah, fuck you. You're not even black. You're African. You don't even belong in here. laughing. It reminds me of Walt Kowalski in Gran Torino. Remember that
movie? Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite movies.
I fucking love that movie. I masturbate to it. And
when I'm not passed out in a chair on my phone.
When I'm not urinating into my money. But the way they would talk, like they go, hey, what's up, you fucking Polak, when he walks into the barbershop?
Yeah.
That was, like we were saying earlier, a term of endearment. You were ribbing each other. It was taking away all the racial tension that is inevitably naturally there. And you're saying, I am relaxed around you. I'm joking around. And it's what makes everyone feel better. Anthony Cumia, I was talking to him last night. He just bought this insane fucking shotgun. And it was at a place in Long Island, and he goes, I walk in there. It's a big sort of a loft space. It's a hardware store where they're selling nuts and bolts and basic stuff. Then there's a craft brewery where the guy makes his own beer, and they're also selling
guns.
He goes, I thought I was in heaven. He literally heaven. Like, I'm sitting there having some weird sort of stout, and then I'm talking to the owner about this gun I'm going to buy, which I just bought because I wanted a souvenir from heaven. And he goes, other people were sort of leaning in. They'd hear the conversation and they'd give their 2 cents. And he goes, it was like a bizarro, upside down, perfect world. And we both realized, wait a minute, that's just America like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What it used to be like.
Right. And you know what I don't understand, and seriously, growing up in the South myself and going to high school in the 70s, we had gun racks in our trucks, like actual gun racks with guns.
Beautiful.
On the rack. And nobody said a word. You know, we'd go to high school like that because you might, you know, go target practicing after, or you might stop and shoot a rabbit for dinner on the way home. You know, not me, but some of the rednecks that I know. I'm just being – but nobody said a word. Yet now – people are worried about the guns because, you know, somebody are getting killed. Why don't people actually question why that is instead of trying to get rid of the actual object? Exactly. That's what I don't understand.
There's 350 million guns in this country, one per person. There we've got trillions and trillions of rounds of ammo. You think if these gun owners were so, it wouldn't be more carnage? Trillions of bullets are floating around this country right now. And we've got mass shootings to the tune of a couple hundred. There's a murder a day in East New York, which is about 3 miles from where I'm standing right now. And what drives me nuts about these guns is how successfully it's been erased from the mental equation. I mean, liberals just know that it's fucking evil. The Daily News, which I thought was kind of blue collar, is talking about how evil guns are on their front fucking page, blaming every attack on guns.
Yeah.
The New York Times has its first op-ed on the front page since 1920, blaming everything on guns. And you're just thinking, have any of you stopped to think about an armed populace and what that would have done to San Bernardino or Paris? When I was in Paris, no one on the right or the left had even considered guns. I had this guy, Pierre Larchmont from Le Monde. His group's called Identity Generation, Génération Identitaire. And I said, he's right wing, right? He's anti-immigration, pro-French, doesn't even like American hamburgers coming in. And I said, what if you had a gun? And he goes, oh, shit, I never thought of that. I've never fired a gun. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, is this where we're going to be in a few, at least New York and the North? Are we going to get to where we don't even think about guns? Like Jack Buckby was another guy up in Britain. I was talking to him and I was saying, you know, Britain is always used as a successful story about fighting guns, but your crime rate went up after you got strict on guns. And if you were all armed, you'd all be better off. This is a right-wing guy too. And he goes, oh, I've never actually shot a gun. And I'm like, dude, you are one pull of the trigger away from coming over to the dark side. And that's kind of the funny thing about guns is we can't really say what the elephant in the room is, which is it's fucking fun.
It's just fun. That's why.
Sorry.
When I take my guns out, my buddies and I, we go to up here in the mountains and we put watermelons all in a row and shoot them. And we'll just watch them explode into just like bloody watermelon parts.
You need to bring liberals with you and just convert them all one by one. Don't shoot them. Just let them
shoot that watermelon and watch it go.
Yeah, I brought a Puerto Rican to my place upstate. This guy I was working with and he was shooting my 30-06 and he goes, yo, this is the whitest shit I ever did in my life and it's fucking fun. Yo. And I saw Piers Morgan said like something like, why would someone need an assault rifle that fires 18 rounds a minute or whatever it was? And Dana Lash responded, have you tried it? And that's really what we sort of have to keep saying. It's sort of like a 10-year-old says, what's this big deal with sex? And you have to go, ah,
one day.
Hang in there, buddy.
One day.
You'll understand.
Well,
you'll give it a whirl.
I've tried to have these conversations with people. Most people that hate guns that I find are in the big cities, New York, L.A., you know, that kind of thing. They haven't lived with them. So the only experience they have is crime with a gun. So you can't explain to them that people that live in Wyoming, that the nearest cop is 1 hour away, that they need that big 18 clip for.
Dude, you need a quadruple barrel shotgun that holds 17 shells because you need to shoot a 3-liter container of Diet Coke.
Exactly.
Especially if you give it a couple shakes before you put it on the stove.
Yes.
No liberal would ever understand that, but my God, seeing that fucking RC, especially if you can get a GoPro to record it in slow-mo, just...
Oh, I know. We buy the liter bottles of just soda water for like a dollar at Walmart. You can get them really cheap. And so we shake those like crazy just to make them explode.
Oh, it's frustrating because you just want them all to try it. I mean, that's the sort of secret to everything really is just get out there and do it. And liberals are all about no. They're like the new Puritans. No, I don't want to debate. Just shut it down. I don't want to shoot a gun. Just take all the guns away. They're like fucking Stalinists.
Right.
And you go, no, I want to argue. I want to swear. I want to use racial epithets. I want to get beat up for using a racial epithet. I want to fucking get a broken nose. You know, I'm happy I'm alive. I want to go do stuff.
Welcome to America.
welcome to America. That's what, and it's immigrants like me who are the most patriotic because we fought to get here because we liked it. You know, we watched the Dukes of Hazzard as kids and went, that place looks fucking awesome. And then we get here and it's reminding me of my other home countries, Canada and Britain, where it's all about no, 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 and faux pas and class. You know, in Britain, you're defined by your accent. In America, I don't know what the percentages are, but I'm guessing a good 60 to 70% of the rich are nouveau riche, and they're fucking tacky. They got enormous boats and Hawaiian shirts and black socks with white shoes. I mean, that's awesome.
I ran into one of those guys just recently. It's funny you said that. This guy comes up to me, and he recognized me from being on the radio, and we're talking, and he's just got – he got accent just so heck, Bill. You can't hardly understand where he's like – he's just almost an idiot, you know. Just good. But he was driving like a $100,000 truck, and so I was asking about the truck.
I didn't know they made those. The Mercedes-Benz SUV thing.
No, it was a Ford that he had custom ordered with real gold and real – because his family owned all this land that got sold here around Denver that turned into neighborhoods. They had been like dairy farmers that just happened to own the land because his grandfather and his grandfather and his grandfather – you know, one of those.
That's America.
And they sold it, and now these guys are millionaires but can barely – they don't like have two teeth to brush.
Well, that's why poor people in America always vote Republican, because they see it as a fad. The poor in Britain, they call themselves working class with pride. I'm working class. But I mean, Americans do call themselves rednecks, but they don't proudly say I'm poor. They want to get fucking rich. Even rap, you know, is about getting rich. And that's what I love about this country. I like that annoying Jew in Caddyshack, you know, Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah,
the loudmouth. I was talking to someone at Fox News, and about that. I think I'm banned from Hannity because I told this woman that she'd be happier at home, which is totally offensive because she'd be happier at home. And someone was saying, a producer there was like, "You should have just cited the studies you were talking about rather than just yell like that. You know, it could have been a swan dive, and you made it a belly flop." And I said to him, "Belly flops are underrated."
Yeah.
It's a pretty fun way to get into the pool, and it's fucking loud. It makes an impact.
And it moves a lot of water.
It moves a lot of water. It makes everyone outside of the pool laugh their heads off. It looks funny, especially if you're fat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Swan dives are for fags.
You could have had a swan dive, and your man bun could have stayed fresh.
It could have been... Phoenix, and then plunged into the waters without making so much as a tiny splash, just like a razor into the water. No thanks. I want to do a belly flop with a beer in my hand.
Well, let me ask you now what your take is on what's going on in the colleges and the safe space. Because when I went to college, it was a place to actually debate and bring up ideas and have a philosophy class and discuss weird ideas. And
colleges,
now it's
colleges
going
to- today. Colleges today are real estate in Florida in 2005. The bubble is about to burst. It's not sustainable. You are making people go $60,000 in debt to come out stupider than when they went in. If you sold cars that were that shitty and useless and expensive, that place would go under. It's like the DeLorean. They can't go on selling this bullshit about, you know, you've got John Butler, that black dude at Missouri. He's worth $20 million. He's fat and he's going on a hunger strike. Then you have that other girl at Yale, that black girl who was screaming at the professor for not getting mad at Halloween costumes.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
She lives in a home that's worth $760,000. These people bitching to us about how racist America is and the patriarchy and how Islamophobic we are as we get killed, that's not education. And it's done. Like I always said to parents, if you send your kids to college in this day and age, you deserve everything you get. You deserve that debt. You deserve that ignorance. You deserve that totally useless fucking degree. Because it's been clear for a while, since the early 90s, that it's no longer about education. And I don't understand why liberal arts exists in the age of Amazon. You want to read the classics? Google it. You can buy any Dickens book for a buck. You can read all the entire Romantic era. It's probably cost you about $50 on Amazon with used books.
Yeah, but you don't have friends that sit around in berets and discuss it with you.
And tell you what the book means. Yeah. Yeah, that's what – I can't remember who said that to me the other day. They said, no, you need a professor. Oh, my dad. He goes, no, you need a professor to deliver to help you take the meanings. And I'm like, I remember when I took English Lit, which was a fucking dumb waste of money. But we were talking about Hemingway and The Sun Also Rises. And the teacher said – this book is about how boring it is in Spain and running with the bulls is a waste of time and how much life in the 20s was shitty and dull. That's why he made it so dull.
Yeah.
And I thought, first of all, I didn't find it that dull. Secondly, I read an interview with him about it, and he said he loved his time there and he thought it was incredibly thrilling and it was the happiest moment of his life. And then the professor goes, well, in this class, we go through the author. And she made this gesture with her arm like she was in the Terminator and she was stabbing a car. She goes, we go through the author and into the real meaning. I'm thinking, okay, so Hemingway is no longer an expert on Hemingway. Nice fucking education I'm getting here.
Well, I'll show you. Here's the difference between the big Ivy League college, I guess, and the community college that I started in. Because when I took English, instead of just studying the classics, which my teacher said we were going to, we discussed the Traffic album, the album by Traffic called "Low Spark, a High Heeled Boys."
Wow!
I don't. So we didn't take a book like a Chaucer. We had – I'm going to play this album and we're going to discuss the lyrics.
Because it's the only thing I know about, because I listened to it a lot when I was a pool cleaner on my Sony Walkman. I had that one cassette I played on repeat. Therefore,
yeah.
I'm focusing on that in this class.
Yeah. So,
I mean, if you're going to take math and chemistry, by all means. But if my kids want to take mass comm or fucking African American studies or philosophy of religion, then they can just Google it, thanks.
Well, Dennis Prager said not long ago, I don't know if you listen to Dennis or any of his stuff.
I do, yeah.
He has several, you know, degrees and master degrees and stuff. He said on his show that he wouldn't send anybody to a big college anymore, that there's no reason to spend that money. You might as well go to a local college and receive a better education, cheaper.
Sorry, dude. My fucking pissed phone is acting up again.
No problem.
Stop it, voice control.
Ding.
All right, I'm back now. Sorry.
Ding.
Ding.
Ding. Ding.
You there?
Did you say piss phone? Ding.
There is no piss phones in your area. Please try again.
Let me look that up.
Sorry, I'm malfunctioning, but you pissed in my mouth last night. All right. Point taken, Siri. I'm not mad at you anymore.
I am just so amazed that you're just like, yeah, you just kind of fell asleep and pissed on my phone last night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, if you check my video on YouTube, How to Piss in Public, I explain that the only way to stop wetting the bed if you're drunk is to duct tape diapers on. Adult diapers have these four little tiny tabs that are about as thorough as Post-it notes. And what happens when you're asleep is you just rip them off and wet. Or this is also for – I was in a habit of peeing in my various chest of drawers. So my wife would wake up and every sock would be drenched in piss. So that was getting me closer to divorce court every day. And instead of stopping drinking, which is a chicken's way out, I ain't a quitter. So I got adult diapers, but you're asleep. You just goes, these are easy to take off. I don't know why he's Southern, but he just rips them off. So I was like, all right, you fucking redneck drunk. I'm going to duct tape them off. And then that night he's like, God damn, these are on real good. And then you wake up because you're trying to undo the duct tape. And you go, what am I doing? And then you go to the bathroom and make your pee-pees. So I think I'm going to have to go back to the duct tape days.
You know what I think I might have just discovered about you just right at this moment is most people that I know that have they do past life regressions are always a king or a queen, or they lived on the Nile, or you might have just been a redneck.
Yeah,
alcohol might just be the key that unlocks your past life that sends you back to when you used to pick up trash along the Mississippi.
Well, it's a real struggle because it might be worse than that. I think I might be a Canadian, if you know what
Oh, no, really?
And it's a curse as a racist. It's like the perfect punishment because every time I hang out with black people, I have an amazing time. Or if we drop off the kids at a birthday party, against my will, I end up gravitating to the black dads because they seem to be the only ones with any balls who want to drink. Like I brought my kid to a party the other day, a kid's party. They're watching a movie projected onto a screen. All the dads take off their shoes and snuggle up next to their boy to watch the cartoon, Big Hero 6.
Oh.
And I'm like, Dad, first of all, don't do that. Your kids should be able to play with kids alone. Secondly, we have a brief moment here where we don't have to watch them. Let's go hang out and talk about how hard it is to get our wives to wear lingerie. And the only people who were doing that were the black guys. So I'm over there with the black dads with my racist curse. And it gets worse than that. Like I've noticed when I drive, I like all the windows down. I like the radio to be on 10.
Uh-huh.
I need to be overstimulated at all times. I have a hair trigger when it comes to violence. I'm black.
And you didn't even know it. In a previous life.
I'm trying my best to be racist, but I just keep gravitating towards these people. It's not easy. I'm a Canadian in every sense of the word.
You are a Canadian.
Oh, my God. It's true. I like the Jew from Caddyshack. I always hang out with the black dads at school parties. And I'm from Canada. I'm all three Canadians combined.
Strike three. But I know what you mean. Like the comic I worked with last week in Vegas, Drew Thomas, who was Last Comic Standing last season. I find myself enjoying myself in conversations with people that are honest, has a really, really honest opinion.
Well, black people are more American than us in the sense that they're not worried about offending anyone and they're not worried about being tacky and they're not worried about how they're perceived. They've got this arrogance that we used to all have and they seem to be the last bastion of audacity. And, you know, you talk to them about the shooting and they're like, yo, fuck those guys. They should all fucking die.
Oh, I know.
When they hear Trump go, no more Muslims in the country, they go, yeah, it's about time.
Yeah. I was listening. I wish I could remember the woman's name. She was on the Kelly File, a black woman that was actually saying that, yes, I think it's time to profile. I think it's time to actually – and I was like, I thought that was bad.
Yeah. It's funny because white liberals love blacks, but they like them as pets. They want them to wear tweed blazers with little leather elbow patches. I say this all the time. They don't like real – like they don't like rap. They don't like Young Buck. And when blacks voted against Prop 8 in California, they had a meltdown because they're like, what's happening to my pet? My dog is attacking me.
Where's Carlton?
And it's like your dog is Christian, dude. He doesn't like your bullshit. He's not for gay marriage. And he doesn't want to listen to NPR. He hates everything about you, which is so frustrating. It's so frustrating that blacks always vote Democrat. And I guess it's because you get more free stuff when you're a Democrat. But they are not good for anyone, especially black America.
I've asked that same thing some of my Jewish friends of like why they continue to vote more Democrat. When you talk to them, they're more religious, more family oriented. They'd be more conservative.
I really feel like this is the beginning of Jews coming over to the dark side. I really do. I think I read about it recently where they were buying more guns than ever before. But you can only put up with multiculturalism that is anti-Semitic for so long before you start going, wait a minute, this isn't good for us. Israelis can't speak at colleges, but any fucking Palestinian can get in there and talk about blowing up Israel and he gets a high five and a standing ovation. Surely everyone has to wake up at some point.
Yeah, has to. Do you see it going bad down the road, though? At some point, do you see it like some type of small civil war?
I'm really optimistic. I think these censors, these liberals are going to step on a landmine. And they already did, really. Like when they started shitting on comedy, everyone, the Jerry Seinfelds of the world said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Now all of a sudden I care about this. Or another landmine they stepped on was video games. They said, oh, video games are sexist and racist and whateverist.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Nerds love their fucking video games. And they went, what the fuck? And they attacked.
Now, there's another.
How you doing? I got a good old Southern boy here. I'm talking to Southerner on the other line, Bailey. Ooh. Where are you from?
Alabama.
Where in Alabama are you from?
Baymanette, Alabama.
Baymanette, Alabama. And you came up here to do your tattoos. Is that right?
That's right.
And your whole family can't believe how rich you are.
Filthy rich. Filthy rich. I send them money so they can survive down there.
Let's get a beer soon.
Yeah. Cheers. I'm around tonight, actually.
Okay. I'm doing a podcast, Bailey.
Currently?
Yes.
I'm impressed. Thank you.
Never not working. That guy's, he's from down south. He's fucking covered in tattoos. His hands, his neck, everything but his face. And he makes normal money, you know, in New York, 50 grand a year is enough to get by. But his freaking mother and relatives, they go, how's your mom feel about the fact that you're the illustrated man? You can work at the circus. And he's like, she just can't fucking believe how rich I am. I got my own apartment, all the groceries I could possibly eat. I got my own motorcycle. I'm fucking, like, he's a god when he goes back home.
Sending money home. I heard, didn't he say something like that? Send it.
Yeah, support. Yeah. He probably sends, like, $1,000 a year, and his mother goes, God damn it.
What?
Son, is Donald Trump. Hey, look, I got to do Dana Lash's show. Everyone wants to talk about this Donald Trump so-called implosion, which I don't think is happening at all. I think it's a fucking explosion.
The meltdown. I heard something earlier about he didn't win one of the polls, right?
Yeah, I think – well, Cruz is doing well in the swing states, I heard. But yeah, maybe he's – did he? Is this forcing him to dip? I can't see how.
Me either. Me either. Well, cool. I'm glad you came on. Got you on again. We'll do it any time you want to. Just hit me up, and I'll get this edited and up tonight.
Okay, well, you guys down there get that weather thing worked out, and you'll have a whole lot of newcomers that are just waiting.
Just Northerners and their guns. That's what we're looking for.
Just get it below 80. Below 80, and we'll talk.
All right. Have a go at Gavin. See you down the road. Bye. Another podcast in the can with Gavin McInnes. I hope you enjoyed it. We had some fun today. We learned a lot about Gavin and his phone problems. Huh? All right. Guys, we appreciate you tuning in. Please share us with your friends. Help the podcast grow. Tell them where they can find us. You know, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podbean, everywhere podcasts can be found. You will find us, Remasculate. Anything you want to talk about, email me. Anything you want me to ask Gavin about next time he's on, email me. And you say, well, how do I email you? It's at McGrew@MSN.com. That's McGrew@MSN.com. McGrew@MSN.com. Guys, appreciate it. Till next time, God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.